Hey, I'm Dyke McCord.
Hello, friends. I'm Rebecca Hott, and we are the Waypoint Podcast.
We are partnering with you in ministry, coming alongside you on the journey.
So if things go as planned, we hope after this podcast you are encouraged. Encouraged in your own ministry and just encouraged of what is happening in the kingdom as a whole.
So today the kingdom worker that we're talking to is Kevin McNeil, who is leading a brand new, fresh out of the gate church plant in Goldsboro, North Carolina, Canvas Church.
It's a pretty big deal around here. We get very excited about our church plants.
Of course.
But before we bring on Kevin, I just want to ask you some maybe slightly less kingdom themed questions. It might be a leap, but Canvas meets in a movie theater. So movies. Can we just talk about movies for a second?
Well, that's a bit of a leap, but let's do it. Why not?
Do you like movies at home or in the theater?
This really is a pre-COVID, post-COVID question, because I mean, really the whole theater experience.
Where it stands.
Yes, with a bucket of butter popcorn in my lap and sitting in the theater was one of the best, but since COVID, not so much, not the most pleasant experience. So yeah, home is fair. Right now preferred.
All right, that's fair. I still like to be there, but I would definitely want to make sure I have a seat in between. Also, just in my season of small children, being in a room where there's no one's going to interrupt it is beautiful.
The one movie that we went to since COVID that was in the theater, I had to walk up to a counter and I'm like, I don't see the popcorn. I don't smell the popcorn. What's up? And I had to walk up to essentially a bar and order the bucket of popcorn that they delivered to me after the movie started. I'm like, that's not a positive experience for me. So it's all about the popcorn.
To me, that's a dream come true, but you know, to each his own. I'm just going to go sit down and you bring it to me. Thank you so much. So what's the best new movie that you've seen recently?
Oh, I really liked, I'm trying to think if it's appropriate to, if I can recommend this. You always have to give the caveats, like, don't watch this with small children.
You're a grown up. Make your own decisions. Let the spirit discern for you.
Okay. Thank you. I thought Tenet was really fun.
Oh yeah.
And it was kind of a crazy, creepy soundtrack, but I kind of liked it. So it's a little different. That was maybe what I was hankering for. So that was fun.
Christopher Nolan.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, we are Marvel fans, and I can officially say we now. It officially really started. My husband is a big Marvel fan, but I'm there. Okay. I'm there now. So we've seen Black Widow at home. So we have the good test. We had Black Widow at home and then Shang-Chi in the theater.
Okay, haven't seen either, so you recommend them?
I think so. Again, with the whole everyone's a grown-up, make your own choices kind of situation. But yes, I mean, Marvel movies need the big screen, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I am with Scarlett Johansson in her thoughts of that it should have been on the theater first. And it was also a funny part, which makes me feel very silly about Shang-Chi, is that also it's a lot of martial arts, lots of spinning. Haven't been in a theater in a long time. It's a really big screen. I got a little woozy. Maybe not woozy. That might be an exaggeration. But I had a minute of like, whoa, I haven't done this on such a big screen. And there's just an extra amount of spinning. So, I mean, take that into account. They're both great.
That's cool. That makes me want to see them.
There you go. So a lot of theaters during COVID did kind of the vintage throwback movies in theaters when there weren't any new movies coming in. If you could just choose a movie to see in a theater, what would you choose?
So a past vintage demands are best on a big screen kind of a
exactly
approach. Exactly. This goes back a little ways.
We can handle it.
Maybe even as much for soundtrack is Gladiator. You just have to have the... You got to have to have the full experience.
Yeah.
So that would be where I would want like full on Dolby surround sound, kind of blow me away as I watch the movie. Kind of thing.
Yes.
Yep.
That's an excellent answer.
Is there a vintage movie that you would want to see in the theater only?
I feel like if I had more time, I'd come up with a better option. But the one that came to mind is like, I didn't see Twister in a theater. And I feel like, or if that should be in a drive-in, right? Like to see Twister outside because there's a drive-in that gets blown away. I don't know. That's the one I could think of. I'm sure I could come up with a better option, but
and a classic. So
yes.
Well, we're gonna transition from movie talk to church in a movie theater. So we want you to hear a great conversation.
Of course, I can't wait.
All right, enjoy. Thank you for joining us. It's exciting to be able to talk to you when this is so fresh. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks in the new church plant. So I know you're taking time away from a a hectic schedule. Mm-hmm. But I think people are interested. People want to know, what's this like? What's going on? And until you've been in the middle of it, you really don't know, right?
Have you even had time to stop and know what it's like?
I don't. I really have no idea what's going on. I'm just every day wake up and I'm like, what's today going to look like?
Well, I'm glad we could have this kind of debrief counseling session for you to process some of what you're in the middle of.
Right. We'll help you find out what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great. We're going on this journey together today. Yes. I'm going to ask you more questions than you ask me. Okay.
Feel free. Yeah. Feel free. So I did think the right starting place would be to take us back. Like, what was the first, like, hey, I think maybe I'm supposed to plant a church, or I think maybe God is spurring something, the Spirit saying something that I'm supposed to be looking at or pursuing.
Way on back.
I was just telling somebody this. I have this joke where anytime I ask anyone if they should plant a church, like I've talked to a few people since I've become a church planter, and I've said, hey, you should plant a church. And they will say, no. They'll be like, no, that sounds really hard. And I'll say, see, you just passed the first test. You said no. Like, that's the first test. You always have to say no.
It's a prerequisite.
I got asked years ago when I first started in youth ministry. I mean, this is probably like 2013 or 14, something like that. And a guy took me out, Jason Woolard, took me out to Bill's Hot Dogs in Washington, North Carolina.
Nice.
He sat me and Maya down, and he said, hey, what do you guys think about planting a church? And I was like, no, I'm good. I asked all the hard questions, and he had very difficult answers. I mean, pretty much every question you ask is like, well, how does this work? But how does this work? And the answer is like, well, you got to figure it out, like make it happen. And that's not appealing. So I was like, no, I'm good, man. I think I'm going to stay here. And so over the years, just continued to ask me, different people continue to talk to me about it. And I think it wasn't so much a desire to plant a church as much as it was a recurring theme in my life where people keep telling me, hey, you need to plant a church. You would be really good at planting a church. And then finally, after saying no numerous times, his brother, Chris Woolard, welcomed me to come visit his church while I was on vacation. And I went and I looked around and I said, okay, I can understand. I don't want to, but I can understand why people think I would be good at planting a church. And it was kind of a realization of like, man, maybe God is calling me to do this. And then he took us out to lunch and answered a lot of hard questions. I remember Roger Burns that weekend, Roger had been talking to me about planting a church forever. And Roger said, hey, what are you doing this week? And I said, oh, I'm getting lunch with Chris Woolard to talk about church planting. And he said, you're getting lunch with Chris Woolard and asking him if you should plant a church? And I said, yeah. And he said, dude, you're definitely going to plant a church. And so sure enough, man, after I left with Chris, I was like, man, I can't not plant a church, you know? So it's still just as scary. I felt like, man, if this is what God is calling me to do, it'd be a sin not to do it. So we went home and we quit our jobs and we went to plant a church. So it was fun, but it was incredibly terrifying.
It's fun now when you say.
Yeah, it's fun now looking back. It was really scary before.
And there's nothing scary now, right?
Not at all, man. This is easy. You know, I can't remember who told me this, but they said in church planting, you always feel like you're 3 weeks away from closing. And that is the most accurate feeling.
Like, how warm and fuzzy.
We're in a staff meeting this morning and I'm looking at the calendar and I'm like, I gotta get going, dude. 3 weeks. I mean, it's still crazy. I feel like a lot of people in my pre-launch, they were like, if you can just get to launch. And now I'm here. And now it's like, if I can just get to Sunday, if I can just get to, you know, every week is nuts. Honestly, though, I'm so glad that I did it. I had a guy that has been coming to our church and he called me out of the blue a few weeks ago. And he said, look, man, I don't really know you that well, but he said, my family is so excited to go to church and they talk about God now. And he said, he said, I'm grateful that you were obedient and that you planted a church. Wow. And I was like, whoa, that is really cool. Like, I don't think he realized how much that meant to me for him to say that. So
that's huge. Huge affirmation.
Absolutely.
Walk us through. So once you made those decisions, you made a move. So tell us about kind of the move between the move and the launch, everything kind of pre-launch.
I guess I can give you, that's a lot. That's like 2 years, what you're asking for right there. So I don't know. I know that there has to be some sort of time limit here. To start from the very beginning, we said, okay, let's plant a church. And so we went home and we said, let's quit our jobs because you have to like do it before you do it. You know, like you have to burn the ships, you know.
Be all in.
Yeah, so we quit our jobs, and then we said, okay, well, now, how am I going to get paid?
Right. So dinner tomorrow. Yeah. How's that going to happen?
So we went ahead, and they told me that I could raise my salary in 4 months. They were like, for the next 4 months, you need to focus on raising your salary. And I said, dude, I would not like to do that. I would like to know way before then that my job is secure. So I just had about 30 days where I was still a youth minister at Edgewood Christian Church, which, by the way, greatest church in the entire world, who really loved me through this process and sent me. So I had about 30 days and I was still doing my job. Like I didn't check out. Things still operated the way, but I did have a lot of time where I was like, okay, I'm on my way out. And so I said, dude, I'm just going to fundraise for the next 30 days. And I said, God, if you want me to raise this salary, you'll have it raised in 30 days. And dude, it was just a lot of coffee, a lot of dinner, a lot of calling people and the grind of that. And then on day 30, I was about $1,000 short and I came home and I was bummed. I told my wife and she was like, that's great. And I was like, it's not great. It's not, you know, didn't happen. God doesn't want us to do this. And so then we went to a party that night, like a goodbye party for us. And on the way out, somebody dropped me off home. And as I was getting out of my driveway, they were like, oh, we forgot to tell you, dude, we want to give you $1,000. And I was like, what?
By the way,
that was really cool.
Was it like 11:45? Yeah,
it was like, no, it was like 10:30, and I was like, dude, what in the world? So that was cool. And she was like,
it's an hour and a half to spare, sir.
I couldn't even share the news with her because she was knocked out. So I was like, man, that's cool.
She appreciates that you waited to not tell her that.
Exactly. That's great. So then, you know, we moved from Roanoke, Virginia, to Jacksonville, North Carolina, where I did two things. I did a residency with Restore Church in Jacksonville with Roger Burns. And then I also started a residency cohort called Passion for Planting up there based out of New Life Christian Church. So it would be like, basically my life looked for a year. It looked like on Wednesdays, I would be all day behind a Zoom call, learning about church planting. I would do my homework, so to speak, throughout the week. And I would also be with Restore Church. So I was on staff. Anytime they needed anything, they just, I was part of the staff, if you will. So I was, but I wasn't like, I raised my own salary, but I was also considered staff. And so if Roger needed me, he could call on me. I would preach there. I would help do different ministries there. And I could look, we called it looking under the hood, right? So like anytime I wanted to look under the hood and ask him about how his systems work, he would answer any question I had. And that was a really cool combo because I was not only learning how to plant a church in the textbook aspect, but I was seeing how they did it. And that was very, very helpful. And we had a lot of people at that church just love on us. And I mean, there was a lot of things that I had to work through in order to get to where I'm at today. And that residency really kind of, it took a year off of me of being the man, if that makes sense, like the person that everybody's looking to. And it allowed me to back up and just look at how things operate, you know? So it was really cool. And then that's when we arrived. So this is about a year later, we arrived to Goldsboro, and that's when our pre-launch started. That's when like Canvas Church really kicked off in my backyard.
These are two very different questions, but I have faith that you'll connect them. Like, what's the culture in Goldsboro, and how did you come up with the name Canvas?
Oh man, okay. You're gonna be disappointed.
You can choose one of those if you
answer. Okay,
like
cool. Said, yeah.
They give multiple option questions.
Yeah, yeah. So we moved to Goldsboro, and the coolest part about my residency is that I was about an hour and a half away. So okay. I could visit randomly, and that was good. Yeah. I'll try to get some work done here when I was in the area. Goldsboro is a pretty unique area. You know, it's Eastern North Carolina. But there's also a military base here, so it's the entire world. I mean, we got people here from all over. You know?
I know there's a military base because I just found out my husband was born there.
For real?
BT Dubs.
Okay. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Was his parents military?
Yeah, Air Force? His dad was in the Air Force when he was born.
Yeah, that's really cool. So we have Goldsboro has about 35,000 people. They, you know, home to the Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. There is, I think it's like 53% African American.
Yeah,
I think it's like 10 to 15% Hispanic. It's a very like diverse place. It's a very poverty stricken place. I think it's like 1 in 4 people are under the poverty line.
Wow.
If I could be wrong on these stats, so I hate to flex them like that. So please don't go fact check me and be like, he's lying. He's lying. Yeah, they said that if I'm not mistaken, it's like the poverty rate here is anywhere from 23 to 26%, and the poverty rate in North Carolina is like 13%. So it's like a more poverty-stricken area than normal. What I love about Goldsboro, though, is in the last 10 years, they have really like did a turnaround. They applied for a grant, and they got it, and the entire downtown has been redone. I mean, they've put millions in their downtown area. Kind of giving it a vibe, a very New Bern kind of vibe, you know, like,
oh yeah,
like this is the place to be.
Nice.
And the attitude around Goldsboro has changed. People have went from being like, Goldsboro, ooh, that place is terrible, to like, no, this is a cool little city. There's people that live here, but working, like our worship director, she works in Raleigh and she just lives here because it's way cheaper to live here. There's a community aspect here that's growing. It was pretty divided is the word that I'm looking for. And I think that the city recognizes that, we as a church recognize that, and we're trying to overcome that of like, how can we all come together and be better together? The name Canvas, so to tie the two in.
Here we go.
So I'm going to be real. I looked forever for a name, and I thought of some pretty terrible names. And I don't want to say them because
I just really wanted you to, though. No. That's just really what I want, but you don't have to.
Because my luck, there's going to be a church out there.
Like, yeah, that's what we are calling our church.
Yeah,
that's fair. I appreciate.
Yes. I will say that I did. I called it a Starbucks test for my name. I would go and I would be in Starbucks, and people at Starbucks will keep it real with you. Like they will just tell you how they feel. So I would go up to complete strangers and I would say, hey, I'm starting a brand new church, and I think that this is what we're going to call it. What comes to your mind? Not do you like it or do you not like it?
Right.
What comes to your mind when you hear this word? And it weeded out a lot of them because I remember one time I was like, what comes to your mind when you think of this church? And again, I'm not going to say it. But they said, I think of a car wash. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. Not going to do that. And I was really set on that one. So finally, we landed on Canvas because Roger and I were driving in the car one day, and we're just really trying to put a deadline on it. And
yeah,
Roger.
Are you an hour and a half away from the deadline again?
No, we're not.
Not quite.
But Roger, I don't know if many people know this, not only did I spend a year with him in residency, but I spent a year with him as a youth ministry intern. So he taught me everything I know about youth ministry as well. And his youth ministry used to be called Canvas. And we were sitting there and we were like reminiscing on the old days. And we were like, yeah, remember we used to go to Canvas? And then we both looked at each other and we were like, Canvas? Dude, that's a good name for a church. And so we start thinking it through and we're like, dude, Canvas seems like a place for like almost like a place to do, you know, a chance to get a do-over, you know, a fresh start. Mm-hmm. So then we start doing the Starbucks test because I wasn't sure if I was going to go with it. And everybody is like, they either say like, I love that, or they say like, it makes me think of a second chance or a fresh start. And so then we just kind of hooked the verse with like Ephesians 2:10, where he's like, hey, you're God's masterpiece. and like, hey, you know, there's just so many creative elements. And then the more that I looked at Goldsboro as they redo downtown, they're really incorporating a lot of art. There's a lot of walls that have been painted. There's a lot of murals all over the city. And so it really just connects really well with what they're
absolutely
trying to do. We just went with it. And that's kind of a theme that we talk about a lot is like, hey, this is a place for a fresh start. It's a place for a second chance, you know?
That's awesome. Really
cool. That is good. It's funny because about the time that you announced your name, I was talking with another potential planter here in North Carolina who learned your name and was like, oh, he stole the good one. Like I would have
used the such only a good one.
It was so funny. Yeah. Like there are others.
Yeah.
So without any other commentary or criticism or anything like that, like, can you tell us maybe a runner up name that or two that you didn't choose without, you don't have to be critical.
No.
Another great option.
You should just tell that church planner that that's how I felt about every name possible. So I got really lucky.
You hear it.
I got really lucky to land on name. He's right. Cause I remember I researched it and there was no churches in North Carolina from Canvas. I really liked Oasis Church and nobody else liked that. I really liked Redemption Church and nobody liked that. They said it was too churchy because our theme is like we're church people, only church. I also really liked Collective Church. But Michael Bartlett is my coach, and he's in Maryland.
That's he was like, yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was like, dude, I just can't steal that. Like, I'm not Michael Bartlett, and I can't. And then there was one more. I liked Compassion Church. And E.L. Jones up in Virginia, they just, you know, they just redid a church and named it that. And same thing. I was like, it's just too close.
They stole all the good names.
That's it. There's a lot of wisdom in what he's saying. But I would just say, keep digging, man. There is a church out there. There's a church name out there that's unique, and it's to you. I really liked Journey, by the way, too. I really liked Journey.
Yeah.
Everybody likes
as
it,
as do
so.
Many.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a great name.
There are a lot of journeys.
Absolutely.
There. If he, you know, moves forward and still likes that name, we'll just get you, you know, dude, rights.
Listen, tell that dude to take it. Tell him to take it. Because one thing I've learned is there's nothing new under the sun. And, you know, there's just so many people that have helped me get where I'm at. And the last thing this dude needs is like a church planner disapproving of his name because it's similar to mine. I don't care. If he were to move to Goldsboro and plant Canvas Church, then we'd have another conversation. But take it, man. He's probably
you have to spell his with a K.
Ooh, there you go. Sorry.
We're going to take a quick break to hear about an upcoming Leader Care event from Tina Wilson and Cam Huxford.
Hey everyone, we want to invite you to join us at Ecclesia Christian Church for Leader Care, a Kingdom Workers Conference that we're hosting in conjunction with Waypoint Church Partners. This conference is for any ministry volunteer or leader, staff at any church. You are welcome to come. We want to pour into you, and we have leading this conference Pastor Cam Huxford. He is a leader of leaders, a pastor of pastors, and you are going to be so blessed by what he has to share.
Well, listen, man, we're so excited by this opportunity to get together. You know, when leaders get stronger, the kingdom gets stronger. And it's not because it's about us, it's about Jesus working through us. But man, when we prepare ourselves, we, you know, take some time sharpening that blade, man, we can get a lot more done. I think this Waypoint Conference is going to be fantastic. You'll leave stronger and more motivated to serve the King. And man, I can't wait to spend some time with you.
Leader Care Myrtle Beach is taking place Friday, October 8th, so head over to waypointchurchpartners.com/events to learn more and get registered. Now let's get back to our conversation with Kevin.
So walk us through kind of the next half of pre-launch. You land in Goldsboro, you work on the name, you're working the neighborhood.
Right.
How are you connecting to people? How are you making people aware that this is a new church plant that's arriving, and how do you start getting people involved and on board?
I had the best advice. Somebody asked me, they said, because I was just like really struggling when I got here, like I've been learning about it, but now I have to do it. Somebody told me like, hey, how do you make a cake? And I was like, what? And they were like, you have three options. They said, you can go to the store and you can buy all these ingredients and do it from scratch. You can, you know, just go buy a box or like a mix and do that, or you can just buy a cake from the store and be good to go, like you got it. And they said, so either way, you got a cake. And to me, that helped me realize, like, hey, there's no one cookie cutter way to do this. Like, there's multiple options out here. And I'll never forget, I don't even know if you know this, Dyke. I'll never forget, dude, we had a management team meeting because Dyke is on my management team. And
sure.
I don't even know, it might have been July. It was later. It was probably like maybe September or August. And we were talking about a COVID situation because at the time COVID was everywhere. And I think we had to cancel something. And somebody had asked, like, well, Kevin, how do you plan on moving forward with that? And I was like, I don't know, man. What do you guys think? Like, you know, with COVID and stuff. And then Dyke, my man just straight up was like, hey, Kevin, you're the one. Like, you know, you're in charge here. Like, what do you want to do? Like, stop asking us. Like, you know it best. You know better than we do. And that's when a button clicked in my head. Like, okay, look, I am, as much as I don't think that I'm trained, I'm pretty trained. I have an education to deal with this stuff. I have, you know, experience and wisdom right here. And even though I don't feel like it, I do know how to move forward. Yep. And that's when I sat down and I busted out one of these big old calendars, went to Walmart, busted out a big old calendar, and I just created three phases. Phase number one, I said, this is the we exist phase. And we only have one option to tell people we exist, right? We're not trying to do anything or start anything. We just want to tell people we're out there. So we bought that snow cone truck, and we I don't know if people know that. We took a UPS truck, and we put a window in it. We gave it a paint job. It says Canvas Church, free snow cone. This is the greatest thing in the world.
I feel like to say we gave it a paint job is an understatement. It looks very cool.
It is. The paint job costs more than the truck. So,
well, it looks great.
Yeah. You can't go.
Good investment.
You can't go over 50 miles an hour in the truck because it'll break. But the paint job is dope.
But if you break down, you'll have snow cones.
If I had a dollar for every request I had to bring it to some church, like, hey, can you bring the snow cone truck? I'm like, no, because it would take me 2 years to get there. Yeah, we did that. And we just started, people would come up to the window and we'd give them a free snow cone. And they'd be like, what is this? And we'd be like, yeah, we're just a new church in town. And we'd say, you know, we're Church People Don't Like Church. And we're coming to Goldsboro. And they'd be like, well, where do you meet? And we'd be like, we don't know yet.
Excellent question.
We'd be like, well, when do you meet? And we'd be like, well, we don't know yet, you know? And so we would always have an event to invite them to, like one thing to invite them to, like, hey, we're having a movie night here, or we're having a, you know, whatever, a reverse. Sure. In October, we did a reverse trick or treat, you know? And so we would invite people to sign up for a reverse trick or treat because it was COVID. And so we dressed up and brought kids candy. So it was really cool.
You made kids give you candy.
Exactly. Exactly. There you go.
Bring your children and have them bring us treats.
Dude, there were so many people that were in quarantine whose kids could not, and they would like be at the door and they would be like seeing us and we would just like make.
What did you dress up as?
I dressed up as a pirate. So.
Yes.
Full disclosure, I dress up as a pirate every year because I'm too cheap to buy another costume. Like, this one works.
That's just being a good steward.
It stays in my closet all year long, and I look good as a pirate, so that's it. We would do community service events all throughout the year. We did a cornhole tournament, and then we did a Christmas service in December, just a preview service, and like four people showed up. It was amazing. I flexed that number and say eight, but four of them were just friends from out of town. So technically eight were there, but four local people showed up.
All right.
So that was the we exist phase. The second phase was like the build the team phase. And we were really focusing on like, hey, you should join our team and help us as we plant this church. And so I focused hard on getting people to join our team. We had some pretty hard sells, but I have these little canvases that people would sign. And I would say, when you sign these, if they were like Christians and they joined my team, I would say, when you sign these, I said, you're signing up for three things. Number one, you serve the most. Number two, you give the most. And number three, your preferences matter the least. It really helped us set a culture of like, hey, this church ain't about you, you know, and there's people that have come since then. And they've tried, I think they weed themselves out real quick. Like, yo, nobody really makes this about themselves. And it's great. It's awesome. Same thing as we did in phase one. We did a bunch of like community outreach events. We did a parents' night out. We did a glow in the dark Easter egg hunt for April. Nice. We're just trying to think of things that are good for the community and that no one's doing. And then the third phase was the get ready for launch phase. And so by that time, we had about 20 to 30 people on our team. And we would split into teams every time we met. And we would just say like, hey, what do we need to do to get ready for launch? And so we created a marketing team, created a team to like, hey, let's pass out a bunch of flyers and let's, you know, get on social media. And like, we have people running our social media who are better at it than me, and a lot of delegating and good things like that. And then it was just like, all right, get ready for launch. And these past few weeks have been crazy. But yeah, it's all really, really good things.
It was all good things. So with the pre-launch, this, I don't mean this to sound negative, but is there anything you would have done differently?
There's so many things. I don't know. I mean, looking back, honestly, I have not even had time to process that. Like, what would I have done differently?
That's fair.
Probably, this is going to sound weird.
Great.
We had, like, we would have pre-launch meetings, and we started in my backyard with, like, a few people. When I started, I would, like, just give a lesson, almost like a devotional, and then we would split up. Like, we'd leave.
Sure.
And then around, like, November, that was in September, around November, I was like, we don't need this. I was like, what we need to do is like actually work. And so we would actually break into teams and we would like work. We would be like, okay, marketing team, what you got? We did that. And the one thing that I would change is I would not have, we tried to do music with that. And I would not have done music. I would have just kept it like, hey, this is a launch team meeting and there's no worship and we don't do worship until we launch. It was good that we did worship, but it was kind of weird with a few people. Like, we only had a few people, and it was stressful to find a musician, and it was
just one more thing for you to do.
Mm-hmm, and it cut off times from the valuable work that the teams were doing. So I wish I would have just said no music.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have any history or stats on this, but as I've moved around in church plant circles for a number of years, I can't recall hearing reports on a similar number of baptisms pre-launch.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know that. You don't have like...
Really?
Yeah, I really didn't know that.
You didn't know any better.
I thought that's behind. I was like, man, we need more baptisms.
More common to hear is we're 6 months, 6 to 12 months in, and we're looking for our first baptism.
Really?
Is a more common...
Wow, that's amazing. Great. I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
You didn't know. You thought you were behind. Why haven't you done better on evangelism? Come on.
Be encouraged.
Genuinely, I can't recall as many celebration stories of baptisms before you were ever officially launched as a church.
So what
has that just been a normal rhythm for you guys? Like, we're... join the team and let's talk about Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, what else is there? I mean, that's what we're doing. I don't know.
That is great.
I guess I just, you know, we meet people. Our marketing really brings in people that don't know Jesus. It brings in a lot of people that are unchurched, and they ask, who is Jesus? And we talk about it, and we, you know, and I don't know what other churches are like. My church is like, hey, do you want to follow Jesus? The first step is get baptized. And that's our that's our process. Because when you read the book of Acts, somebody wants to follow Jesus, they get baptized. So that's what we tell people to do. We would just, you know, meet people where they're at. We would have a conversation. Like, we're trying to reach unchurched people. And I think that we can credit that to the Holy Spirit working and not me. I don't know. I wish I could tell you that I had some elaborate plan to get that number high. But I really thought that I really didn't have a high number. Like, we had 4 or 5 baptisms in our pre-launch.
Yeah.
And we opened 3 weeks ago and we've had 4 since.
That's awesome.
So we had one the second week and then 3 yesterday. So yeah, really good stuff. I think too, and I'll just say this, you know, a lot of guys out there, they just play the comparison game a lot. And I don't think they try to. I think it's just like a trap that you fall into ministry of like, how am I doing compared to these other guys or compared to the past? And even I will sometimes struggle with it. But I would just say, like, just don't, dude. Like, just do you. Keep your nose to the ground. Who cares? Like this other dude planting Canvas Church in North Carolina. Just name your church Canvas, dude. Who cares? You know, like, you're not like, you don't owe anything anybody. Just, you know, keep your nose to the grind and do you and just focus on that and then let everybody else, you know, do their thing. And I think your results are going to speak for yourselves. You know, don't stress over numbers and this comparison that we often do.
Sure. One thing I'm curious about is the overlap and comparison of having launched a new church and launched a baby. It's not how the wording works, but I feel like there's a lot of this. You had to choose a name. You don't know how it's going. Yeah. You not only had a church, but you had a baby.
I think that is one thing that church planters often do. I've heard that over and over and over, is they often have a baby. And maybe it's because you moved to a city where you don't know anybody. So you just hang out a lot, you know, that's all
we
you
just
do.
Have our own friends.
I wish that Micah could have been born maybe 6 months after the church plant. That might have helped a little bit, because
there is some of this out of your control.
Yeah, it was very. In fact, the day he was born, we were supposed to have a vision night.
Oh, wow.
And like we were like maybe 4 or 5 hours away from vision night. And my wife calls me and she's like, I got to go. She's crying. She's like, I got to go to the hospital. And I'm like, well, I got to go to PT's World tonight, because like you can't go to the hospital. We got things to do. So I had to call my team.
That's still on the schedule.
Yeah, they took. Weren't we supposed to meet that day, Dyke? We were supposed to have a meeting.
Yes.
I was like, hey, yeah, guys.
You called. We let you off the hook. We let you out of the meeting.
Yeah, I said, I think I have the best reason ever to miss a meeting.
I feel like that was a pretty good one.
It's because I have a kid being born. It's very hard. There's a struggle there and a tension there of like, anytime I feel like I get ahead in one area, I feel like I'm a behind. Like I'm ahead in church planning, but I've done a terrible job of being a dad and a husband. I'm a great husband. No, I'm a really bad job. You know, I've done a really good bad job at church. And so learning the balance and learning when to, Andy Stanley says, like, choose the cheats. Mm-hmm. And when, like, hey, you know what? There aren't a lot of things I need to get done, but I'm not going to do them. I'm going to hang out with my mm-hmm. kid. And we have a girl named Liz that's on our staff. She told me, she said, hey, just be patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, give yourself grace. And all of your routines and everything, it's all going to get jacked up. And just be okay with it. And that was very helpful advice.
Amen,
and learning
Liz.
To, like, be okay
Good with job, that. Liz.
Yeah, yeah. She has a kid.
She knew.
So she knew. Hey, it's about to get crazy. And it has. You really appreciate time a lot more. Like, you're like, oh, time really matters. You get disappointed with scheduling a lot.
Yeah, it does help you be like, I'll have to do this right now because I don't know when I'll have free time again. So
exactly.
Tell us about now you've launched, you're 3 weeks in. What are you feeling? What's it feel like? What's it look like? What are you thinking?
I've never felt spiritual warfare like I have up until the time we launched. I feel like I just, everything is like, when I see something bad happen, I'm just like, man, that's definitely spiritual warfare. Like, that's definitely Satan messing up our plans. So last week was really hard with a lot of blows. So I feel that, and understanding how to navigate that, learning how to take days off, even though the workload is enormous, is really important.
I am curious, on a lighter note, what are some pros and cons of meeting in a movie theater?
Oh, dude, you don't have to set up chairs. It's the greatest.
Amen.
Nice. It's the greatest thing. And the chairs are comfortable, too.
Right?
They're so comfortable. They let us use their projection. They let us use their sound. So we don't even have to put up speakers or anything. It's great.
Gosh.
You just run, like, 3 chords, and that's it. And it's built for it.
Right.
It's built for, like, loud sounds.
Yeah.
Children's ministry is a little difficult in there.
Sure.
But our kids director is really good at that. I think another thing is, like, we're the only movie theater in town.
Okay.
So location wise, when you're like, where do you meet? You meet at the movie theater. That's it. And it's not intimidating for people that don't like church. They will go to a movie theater because they know what it's like. I wish every church could meet at the movie theater. It's super easy. There's not a lot of setup, and teardown's pretty easy.
Awesome.
I don't know that there's many cons at all, other than
beautiful.
Sometimes it's gross. Like, sometimes the employees don't clean up very well and you have to clean up. But other than that, it's pretty great. Yeah.
So the only, like, small letdown visiting popcorn was.
Do people ask
me
for
popcorn?
Have people ask for popcorn, like, every week?
I mean, popcorn in church.
Smell it,
come
dude.
On.
Smell it. Especially, like,
if they
were busy the night before, like, I just come in. She lets me. She told me if I ever want popcorn, I can grab some, but she doesn't let anybody else. So
nice.
She likes
All right. Next time I come, I'm coming to you first. I'm like,
I know where the bags are, dude. I can get you some, man.
Give me a large one.
I got you. Yeah. I am going to try to strike up a deal with her soon to do something with that, but I take it. She is like, she reminds me so much of my sister, the manager there. And I take it, like, slowly with her, like, day by day. Yeah. And, like, It's like, if she's in a good mood, I'll ask for something big. If she's in a bad mood, I'll just like, hey, we're good. We're good.
Thank you.
Smart.
Yeah. So
we appreciate smart. You.
Good. Yeah.
I know you got to get through this week. I understand that. But then you got to get to the next week. And then, you know, then there's Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. So just where's your headspace on getting to the next week and the next month and the next few months?
Yeah, we were really intentional back in like July and August of like, how are we going to push people to the next thing? Because that's our thing, was we always push people to one thing.
Yeah.
Right. So we had our soft opening, or our practice service, if you will, on September 5th. Mm-hmm. So this is backing up September 5th. And then what we did was we just said, okay, we're going to do all the same songs and I'm going to preach the same exact sermon. And we invited a lot of non-Christians to come and critique us and like fill out a survey. That's cool. And it was cool. I'm going to be real. I didn't care so much about their feedback. They did have good feedback, but I cared more about them like coming to church, because I knew, like, dude, if you come, you'll like it. And they did come. And so that was really cool. And they came back the next week, even though they had heard the same songs and heard the same sermon. So they came. So that was the 5th. On the 12th was grand opening. And so that was really cool. We told everyone on the 12th, because we didn't know who these people were, we said, hey, your next step is just to come back next week. And we had a donut wall where we like invited them back to like, hey, come and get this local company has given us some donuts. So then that, after that happened, we did like what we call starting point. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of that. It's like an orientation. Sure. We said, hey, after the donut wall, we said, hey, come back next week because we're going to do a starting point. And starting point is basically like telling you who we are and how you can get connected. Right. So that was yesterday. We had a lot of people come back and we had like, I think we had 30 or 40 people at starting point. So then now what we did was we had an easy way for them to onboard onto the teams. So all starting point was our orientation. And then like at the end of starting point, we say, hey, Canvas is better with you. We want you to join the team. Here are the teams. And then we had a sign up sheet and they're all literally like, one of them's right here in front of me. It's just like, give me your name, your number, your email. This is the prayer team, you know, and we have the AV team and the music team and whatever. And so now we have all these people and we don't have to figure out where they need to go. They've told us where they want to go. So now we have a lot. This week, we're going to push community groups and we're going to say, hey, if you're here, join a community group. And so this Sunday will be all about community groups and then they'll start. And then from there, we'll kind of like mellow out a little bit of like, okay, now let's really get to know each other over these next few weeks until we can get to November. We have a big event planned in November. It's like kind of like a food drive.
Awesome.
And then in December, we have a really cool sermon series. This is a great example of what I was saying earlier. I'm totally stealing Michael Bartlett's sermon series for December. Okay. I was like, dude, that's great. Can I steal it? And he was like, yeah. And like, I, you know, perfect. People in North Carolina will never know that he did it in Maryland. And it's okay. Like, so tell this dude to steal my name. I don't care.
Now we're borderline. He's going to be offended if this guy doesn't use Canvas. So.
Yes, exactly.
Use it.
As long as, dude, steal my logo. I don't care. Do it all. I don't care. Whatever.
It is a good logo.
Yeah. It is. Brent Myers. Can I give him a plug? Am I allowed to plug people in here?
Absolutely.
Brent Myers is the greatest, man. He's based out of Venture Church in Wilmington, and he just started going full-time doing that. So if you need somebody good, hit him up.
Any other resources that have been particularly helpful in kind of the building structure leading to a successful launch?
There's a guy, his name is Chris Hankins, and he planted Point Church. And I took him out to breakfast one time and I was like, hey man, tell me everything you know. And he looked at me and he said, there's a book. It's called Launch by Nelson Searcy. And I said, okay. And like, I'll never, I mean, it was the simplest thing. He was like, read it and do everything he says. And that was his advice. And let me tell you something. I read it. Dude, I mean, it's like, that's all you need. Like, I mean, it's not all you need, but like, it is a really, really good book. Launched by Nelson Searcy. And he has some chapters, if you have ministry experience, it's kind of like common sense. Some of it blew my mind. I'll never forget that book. it really, like, especially in the first few months, September, October, November for me, mm-hmm. He has a whole chapter on there, and he says, in your pre-launch, this is going to sound weird and almost what do you call it when something is
sacrilegious,
not sacrilegious, but like when something is, I think it's oxymoron, you know, like when Jesus says, hey, if you want to, you know, find your life, give it up. If right. you want to lose your life, fine. So he says like, hey, don't pastor people, like don't pastor your launch team. Wow. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And at the time we had around 12 to 15 people, and I felt myself feeling called to like pastor them and like constantly mm-hmm. check up on them and constantly be like, hey, how are you doing? And like going through this. And this dude in the book, he was like, don't do that. He said, every day, every week, just look for new people and constantly add new people. And he was like, if your people really understand this, they will be stoked that you're getting new and new people. And like, they're big boys and girls. They can handle themselves and just add new people to the team. And so I did that. And I found myself not really caring in kind of a heartless way. I felt really heartless. I felt myself not caring so much about the people that we had uh-huh. and just constantly adding new people. And when I look back, those 12 people that we originally were there, they have all left for multiple reasons. Some of them have physically moved and they couldn't. Mm-hmm. Most of them have physically moved. Some of them were like, man, I'm not really buying into what Canvas is all about. Some of them were, we borrowed them from other churches, and then their right. churches reopened. And so they've left. Oh, and sure. like hardly any of them are here. All of the new people that I have found, they have been our most core leaders. And yeah. I think if I would have pastored those people, my launch team would have been much, much smaller, and I would have, you know, so I think it was the greatest advice I ever got was like, don't pastor your launch team, just focus on new people. Mm-hmm. And when people are at a launch team and they're like, I don't know anybody, you look at them and you say, good. That means we're growing. This is a good thing that you don't like get to know them right now because they're here, you know?
Absolutely.
It was the greatest. So Launch by Nelson Searcy is a really good book.
It's awesome. And Chris Hankins is episode 5 of our podcast.
Is he? Oh, tell him I said hey. man. That's a good guy right there, man. He's really cool.
Any other resources that you would recommend and say, hey, this is, you've mentioned a couple, but just like, if I were doing this now,
so many,
seek out this.
Would say, in no particular order, number one, read the book, The God Ask. It's a really good book on fundraising. Like it tells you like, hey, it really shifted my focus from like, hey, you have to help me to like, no, you get to help me, you know? And that's, it changes your focus on perspective. I cannot, like, if I recommend anything to anybody, to do Passion for Planting, spend the 9 months that it takes to complete that program, because at the end of it, you will be way more prepared. You will be way more trained to be like, I know what I'm doing, you know? Definitely do that. And those guys up there, Sean Cronin, Brett Andrews, Dale, they just have such a heart for church planting, and they have so much wisdom. And even Passion for Planting, they alone are a resource, but they give you a million other resources. Like every week you get a guest speaker. That's how I met Chris Hankins, because he was a guest speaker at Passion for Planting. Every week you get like another, they gave us a budget template, and it's most genius thing in the world. Like you just plug in all of your assumptions and then it gives you a budget for you, and it saves you so much time and answers all your questions. And I use it all the time. They have a thing called, I can't even remember what it's called. But it basically is a list. It's called Planter's Plan. And it just tells you everything. Like, what are you worried about today? Like, what do you need to do this week? Well, check Planter's Plan. It's going to tell you exactly what you need to do this week. You're in week number, you know, you're 84 weeks out from launch. Cool. Go to the post office, set you up a PO box. And you think to yourself like, oh, I never thought about that, but you need to get it done. Mm-hmm. So Passion for Planting is really good. And I'm sure that there's other resources out there, but those are two that really pop off the page for me.
What encouragement would you give, as you can't be really any more on the fresh front lines than almost 4 weeks, we'll be going into 4 weeks, what encouragement would you give to the planners, lead pastors in general, who are not 4 weeks in, but are just in it, What encouragement do you have for other church leaders?
Honestly, dude, I would just say, like, it goes back to that comparison game. I would say, like, change the scoreboard for yourself, because your scoreboard is probably how many people you have, how much money you have, how many baptisms you have, how many events that you have. And, like, don't get me wrong, you do have to pay attention to those numbers. They tell a story and they, you know, they matter.
Right.
But, like, you know, when I look at numbers and when I look at our progress, what I care more about isn't that stuff. It's stories and it's people that have come to know Jesus. You know, I don't know. Last year, dude, we met, this was our first baptism and it blew my mind, dude. We met a lady, her name is Whitney. And, like, at first I couldn't tell this story, but now they've gotten to a point where they don't care. Like, they'll tell you their story. Whitney, met her at the snow cone truck and she was like, I don't like church. I was like, cool. We're church people who don't like church. And then, you know, we started hanging out with her. Come Christmas time, she hits me up and she's like, hey, I got this problem. And we didn't know each other that well. And she's like, hey, I got this problem. My husband and I have been separated, but he just came back and wants to get back together. She's like, I'm pregnant and I don't know who the dad is. And she said, he will stay if I get rid of this baby, but, like, he's gonna leave if I don't. And so I'm like, well, didn't learn this in Passion for Planting, you know?
Look up
so,
some book in the back, an index real quick.
Like, yeah, there's nothing out there. So I just, you know, I just prayed and I said, hey, sounds like you have a big decision to make. I said, could we get dinner and talk through this a little bit before you make this decision? Mm-hmm. And she said, yes. She brought her husband to dinner. And we went out to Chili's, shot at the Chili's, greatest restaurant ever. We went out to Chili's and we talked about it. And we was like, hey, you know, it was awkward. Like, hey, what's up? Let me tell you about myself. Tell me about you. Now let's dive into this dark laundry, you know? So, you know, basically we talked to him about Jesus and we said, look, the problem is not her. The problem is not you. The problem is sin. You both sinned. And, like, getting rid of this baby is not going to fix this. And I even threw out three. I said, you got three options. I said, number one, you could just separate. Like, there's no need to get rid of this baby for you guys to just, like, you know, get rid of each other and go your separate ways. And I said, number two, you could give this baby up for adoption. And what's really cool is my wife was adopted. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to be like, look, I'm so grateful that her mom gave her up for adoption because I have a wife now, you know?
Right.
And then I said, number three, I said, you could forgive each other and love each other and, like, you know, overcome this together as a family. And I said, I think that's what Jesus did for you. And that's how you'll be able to. I said, your third option is going to be the hardest, but I said, it starts with you being forgiven by God. And then it was like, do you know Jesus? You know, like, hey, let me tell you why you should forgive your wife, because Jesus forgave you. And then the next week we baptized that dude and it was really cool. And then I don't know, dude, like I don't get teary-eyed, so I'm not going to get teary-eyed. But, like, they had a kid. Like, they had this baby.
Oh, man.
And I don't know that people, like, you know, numbers and baptisms and stuff. Like, if Canvas Church were to close tomorrow, like, we saved a kid's life. And it's a kid. They moved. They moved. He got stationed somewhere else. I'll never even know this kid. I'll probably never even meet him in his life.
Right.
And, like, I just think of, even if we never do anything else, like, we did something, like, you don't know the ripple effect that you just caused in the universe and in heaven. And
absolutely,
when it was done, Roger called me, or actually Roger was here, and he looked at me and he said, hey man, he said, you did it. He said, this is what it, he said, even if you never do anything, like, you did it, like, you accomplished it. And so from here on out, everything's a bonus, you know?
Yeah.
So I would just encourage you to, like, change your perspective on the scoreboard. It's not, church planning is not sexy numbers. It's not the big flashy thing that you see all the other churches doing. It's very nitty gritty work.
Yeah.
So change your perspective and change the scoreboard and learn to find the, like, heaven celebrates over one sinner who returns home. Mm-hmm. But the more, like, it's more fun to have 99 people at your church. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cooler to say you got 100 people rather than one. So change your perspective and really learn to embrace that. Like, hey, one matters.
Amen. That's awesome.
That's a good note to wrap this up on. And thank you so much for sharing from your heart. And we just pray God's richest blessings on you and Canvas and week four, brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So good stuff. I appreciate you guys. Appreciate Waypoint. And yeah, if you need me for a future episode, hit me up.
I feel like we're going to have some follow-up for sure.
This is the first one I've ever done. This is cool. I feel like a celebrity. This is weird.
You are.
I don't know much, but I'll tell you what I know or what I stole.
Perfect. Cool.
Well, if you weren't, you definitely will be a celebrity after this episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got you. Cool. All right. I appreciate you guys.
What a great conversation with Kevin.
Indeed. And for any church planners or church pastors' wives listening, or just a good resource in general for you to pass along, don't forget to subscribe to the new Waypoint Pastors' Wives podcast that just dropped some new episodes.
Whatever you're facing in ministry, Waypoint wants to help. So if you ever need us, don't hesitate to reach out.
You can find us at our website at waypointchurchpartners.com or on Facebook or Instagram and YouTube.
To all of our ministry partners out there, God bless.
Make good choices. Mm-hmm.